Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
It's true. It's true. We're back. It's In This League live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can find Mr. Carl Bogman Jr. on Twitter at Bogman Sports.
I mean, if I have a son, I have to name him Carl, you know, Carl's Jr., right? Like, his name would be Carl's Jr. Bogman. It wouldn't go at the end because he wouldn't technically be a junior.
The key to it would be his name would have to be Carl's, because, like, the problem is if Carl elicits two things. It elicits, Carl, can I talk to Carl?
Hey, Fryman, what are you doing here saying how I didn't invite you and I don't like you?
Can I borrow your car?
Dude, that, by the way, you and I nail that stuff. My meat wad is the only impression. I know you love my hormone monster. My meat wad.
That's my favorite.
My meat wad impression, I am proud of. I am very proud of. And you do a great Carl. So, I mean, we can rock that all day. So that's Carl number one. The other one is Carl from Walking Dead. Just Carl. I see the gif.
Carl. It's like coral.
Yeah. Coral. So that's why your son would have to be named Carl's. That would have to be his name. And everyone would be like, oh, you mean Carl, right? No, Carl's.
You know.
How what?
How embarrassed would my son have to be? You know, like, yeah, my dad named me after this fast food place because he's a big fat mess.
Do you ever think about, like, if you had a kid, like, everything that you've done is,
one time
is on the internet?
I had a nightmare one time that, like, this girl, you know, came back and said, this is your son, and he was, like, 10, you know?
We've all had that. I lived with that for about 6 years. You want to know one of the best, and by the way, like, I'm married, I got two kids, but there was one, we all have that one where dicey, someone may have been lying about some stuff and then disappeared. I don't know. And then I had this fear for a long time, and then I may have talked about it on the show because this happened in the lifespan of our show box, and I got a friend request on Facebook when I cared about that from her, and I was like, oh God. And then, so I have to be specific about this and not trying to be weird about it, but I have to be specific. So she was Asian. And it's important here because I get a friend request from her.
We all know your fetish now.
No. It's just one of my first girlfriends. I get a friend request from her. And then I'm like, okay. And I accept it. And I look, first photos, two children, definitely from a Caucasian male. My heart went into my butthole. It was so far down. It
look
sunk.
Twins.
It was.
Hope
dude,
you don't like any of that money you're making.
I got into the sweats. You know those sweats you get. You're like
the flop sweats. Yeah.
And then I went down on the photos a little bit, and then I saw a not me dad, and I went, oh thank God. Oh, thank God.
But did you look at the kids like, they look like me a little bit?
But again, like, I'm not trying to be crass, but she was Asian. So, you know, the children were part Asian, part Caucasian.
Yes.
And
we all understand how that works.
I am the Caucasian persuasion. And I was looking and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But the adrenaline rush I had.
They have to be Scientologists. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, let's take a test. The adrenaline rush I had when I was safe and in the clear, I danced. And I don't dance. I danced. Did you do that in your dream?
Like, well, when you woke up? Well, I went on Facebook and creeped. So I was like,
oh, you took it. Wait, you took it off of the dream onto Facebook to make sure that person didn't have a child?
Yeah, but she's not. So, like, there's still the possibility that someday, you know, knock on the door.
There's a little Carl's Jr. up there.
I'll just start calling him Carl's.
Carl's. So,
what's up, Carl's?
But like,
my name is Frank. Yeah, it's not though. It's Carl's now. I was not involved in this decision.
My name is Frank Gallagher. So. But like all the stuff you've done, they'd be like, I need to get to know my father. They type in Scott Bogman on Twitter and they see you're like, I'm going to eat Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. every day. He has cats.
What
a loser.
He likes the Steelers.
What a loser.
Oh.
I think I would just go to, like, if I didn't know who my dad was and I found him on the internet and I saw it was me, I'd just be like, yeah, my dad died.
He's dead. Not worth it. Just say it out loud. Yeah. Not worth it.
No, he's been dead for a long time. So yeah.
Can't do this. Can't. All right.
Didn't even know him. So definitely not eating Carl's Jr. every day in Arizona.
If anything, maybe you'd help that kid. Maybe that kid would be like, well, I need to work out and never eat fast food.
Yeah. It'd be, you know, like most people are with their dads. Like, I don't have to be great. I just have to be a little bit better than him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all. If this is what I have to be, it shouldn't be hard.
That's what I'm training my son to do right now. You know how excited he got when his mom was like, you want me to make you a veggie plate? He's like, yes. And I'm like, good for you. Good for you, man. I'm like, I'm going to go to Culver's. I'll be back. So that's where we're at. All right. So when we left off hour one, you can go back and listen on demand if you missed any of it. InThisLeague.com. You can catch all the great podcasts we got going on. But in hour one, as we just left off here, we were talking about Trey Turner and the injury, which sucks. Redraft, there's nothing you can do. If you want to be the person that goes out and buys on him right now, it's going to be cheap. I just fear it's not going to be cheap enough. You know what I mean, Bucks? People, the guy who owns him, they're going to want something, but I have a hard time believing most people are going to find that line that fits between, because the guy that owns Trey Turner is going to be like, well, you know, I want Xander Bogaerts. You know, I mean, they probably want Whit Merrifield. You know, that's a better one. I want Whit Merrifield, middle infield. And the guy's like, I'll give you Mike Moustakas.
Much impossible to trade for Trey Turner in a redraft right now, because number one, you don't know how long he's going to be out and you don't know what he's going to come back and do.
Yeah.
You want to assume that he comes back and he's fine. But like you said before the break there, the Welsh, you know, finger injuries, hand injuries, wrist injuries, that stuff zaps power. And Trey Turner isn't a giant power guy, but he is not a no power guy. I think that's the big distinction there. He can hit 15 without a problem and a lot of doubles and stuff. So it's just kind of dicey trading for him right now, because you know he's going to miss an extended period of time, you know, middle of May at best for him to come back. And is he going to be the same guy when he comes back?
Yeah, and he's a very specific type of player, because – you know, a lot of injured guys, what you could do is you could say, okay, you like throwing out, this is a bad example, but let's say you got like Nolan Arenado, you know, let's say Nolan Arenado got hurt and he was going to be out for 5 weeks. And you just said, and someone was willing to, they had a little bit of a depth and they were willing to make this move. You go get a Matt Chapman for a Nolan Arenado. Like that's not ideal. But if you're trying to win immediately, like the production isn't like a crazy drop off. The problem with Turner is Turner so specific, it's really hard to trade off of Turner and get a guy that doesn't steal bases. Like, you could try for Corey Seager, but Corey Seager doesn't do the same stuff as Trey Turner. And where are you going to go?
Yeah, you're taking a loss 1,000% on whoever you get back for Trey Turner right now.
Especially if you've constructed your
team. So it's almost
team.
Better to trade for a couple guys.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. If you could get a, I don't know,
some you're already struggling in, plus that middle infielder,
like a Jonathan,
you know, or maybe
VR,
has to be shortstop,
like a Jose Peraza, and then like, you know, I don't know, some outfield, Domingo Santana,
like a pitcher in Jorge Polanco, you know,
yeah,
he was hit for the cycle yesterday. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good
something
point.
Like that. Like, you're bad in pitching, maybe you get a good starter. You know, maybe you get like Marquez and Polanco. You know, something like that. But that's also taking a hit. But if you're if your whole team is sucking right now, you know, sometimes you lose 2 weeks in a row, you know, 2-8, and you're way behind the eight ball to start.
Yeah,
so
you can get really behind. So that's redraft. Dynasty is a whole nother thing, and we haven't talked a ton about that. I haven't seen a lot of people jumping into it. Now, I'm in the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational. Bogman is not.
I was not invited.
No. This RotoWire hosts this. It's a 20-team dynasty. It started up last year. Guys like Derek Van Riper, Rob Silver, Clay Link, James Anderson is the one that started it.
All the good people but me.
Yeah, pretty much. And Justin Mason, Melissa Lockhart. So it's a 20-team.
Or I guess all the good people plus I'm not in it. So.
Yeah.
So probably more accurate.
I was in a weird spot when the draft started because I had the 18th pick and a lot of the good young guys went. And I was in this situation where, I mean, hindsight, God, I wish I could change it. I ended up, now it hurts. I went for a win now team and I drafted Charlie Blackmon and Clayton Kershaw, which I remember after the draft was all said and done, I got a lot of kudos. Like, this is one of the strongest win now teams. The problem was some other people pulled off some dumb trades and was able to strengthen their team. So I had this team and I was riddled with injuries last year. One of my best picks, I got Jacob DeGrom in the fourth round of this dynasty, by the way, which was really good. And that was one of the things that propped me up. But the point was, I was riddled with injuries last year. I didn't win. I was kind of middling. And I walked into this year and I saw my team and I just said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. You know, 20 team, I guess a lot of things, anything could go, but I'm starting off with Clayton Kershaw already injured again. I've got one closer. There's just some, you know, some holes. And I really was taking a look at this team and thinking, I think I got to retool this. And I started the first week actually in first place, but I received a trade offer where I traded like Ryan Braun for this guy, Nick Prado, who I love, and a pick. And that was solid. So I came to the determination, I'm going to sell this team off. I'm going to retool because I got amazing pitching prospects. So I'm going to try to trade off some of the pitching and I need to get a couple hitters. So I focused on Jacob DeGrom because Jacob DeGrom was, he's having he's incredible. He's one of the most incredible pitchers in baseball right now. And his value is also at a peak. The problem is, Bachman, you know this, people don't want to pay for pitching.
Yeah, they don't want to, especially in long-term dynasties.
And 20-man leagues.
Maybe in a keeper league, you want to get one upper echelon just so you start two hitters, one pitcher, something like that. But when you're keeping everybody, it's just difficult to pay up for pitching.
Yeah, five keepers or something like that. This is everybody keeps 35 players in a 20-team league with minor leagues. We have a minor league system of 10 and whatever. So it's really difficult. And for people to trade off hitting is really hard. So I was toying around. I got the worst offer I've ever received. Someone wanted to trade me Luis Garcia from the Washington Nationals, a prospect, an 18-year-old prospect in AA for Jacob DeGrom, and told me that this was not their best offer and this is the best they would do.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. So I was kind of poking around, and my goal was, I'm not getting a pitcher. I don't want pitching prospects. I've got them in my minor league system. I want hitting. So how do I tackle this? Lo and behold, slides into my DMs is Rob Silver. This is after the Jacob DeGrom start because I put out a thing. I said, Jacob DeGrom sure is good to the whole league. And then Rob goes, I sure like Jacob DeGrom. I have Trey Turner who's hurt. Maybe there's a path to getting this. So what I was hoping was I wanted to push it to like DeGrom and get Turner and maybe a prospect back. He wanted a hitter. This is his counter to me, because I offered Jacob DeGrom and, like, I don't remember, some low hitter like Adam Jones. And he says, Jacob DeGrom and Charlie Blackmon. And I go, no, that's not going to happen. The end result, this is the important thing, end result is I trade Jacob DeGrom and Mike Moustakas to get Trey Turner and Geraldo Perdomo, who's a really good pitching or really good shortstop prospect for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I wanted to bolster some of my positional prospects in here. This trade got a bunch of waves in our little world. A couple tweets from the league people about it, and a
not
consensus.
Not for me, because I didn't know about it, because I'm not.
No, you got nothing about it. Nobody asked you about it.
Zero shares. Right.
But the consensus from bystanders was, wow, this is a lopsided trade in favor of DeGrom. But as the league people had mentioned, well, this is a dynasty, and you have to put those things into perspective. So I ask you, talk to me about this trade where it's tough to get hitting. I get a 25-year-old keeper who's hurt. I get a position player, Jacob DeGrom for Trey Turner. And does Mike, because I had asked people, does Mike, straight up, everybody wanted Trey Turner. But for some reason, when I put Mike Moustakas in, everybody's feelings got turned. So talk to me about that dynasty trade.
Well, I think if you're a rebuilding team, you get, I think you win this. I think both sides can win this because Rob is a win now team, correct?
Yeah. And
I'm
going
to assume he didn't add the 30-year-old pitcher to his team that's rebuilding.
No, he's an older team. He drafted it as a win now team. He was competing very heavily last year. He even acknowledged this in a tweet. He says, I'm rebuilding, or he says, I'm win all now. It's all over 30. And he's like, I had to pull this trade off where I am trying to blow it up.
Well, then this works for both sides because he gets one of the, you know, two most dominant pitchers in Major League Baseball right now. You know, DeGrom is the most dominant. I think you have to still have Scherzer in that, you know, frame of mind there, of course.
And he had like, by the way,
Sale hasn't looked good.
He has like Justin Verlander, and he's got another ridiculous one, too.
Yeah, so he adds to that staff, and he adds Moustakas, who is, you know, going to gain second baseman eligibility at some point this season.
He already had it, I think, in CBS.
Well, there you go. Already plays third, you know, and is a guy that can hit 35 homers. And you get the best player in the deal, clearly, because especially for a dynasty league, a 25-year-old first-round pick should last a very, very long time. And you get a prospect back, you know. Obviously, the prospect is 50-50. But I think when you look in 3 years when Jacob DeGrom is most likely, you know, still very good, but not as good as he is. And Trey Turner's entering his prime. You won't care about Moustakas that much.
No.
You just won't.
And that was my point. Like, my point long term was I going to let Moustakas take me away from getting a hitter that's a first round value hitter who's still young at a premium position? Was I going to let that stop me? Is Jacob DeGrom going to go ahead of Trey Turner even next year in normal redraft? Maybe, but it's going to be close.
And pitchers sink so quick.
Yeah.
You know, they just do.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting because, you know, the outlooker, they weren't sold on it and they saw it as lopsided. But when you think about dynasty, you have to think about that. Sometimes you got to bite it a little bit. I don't really think I ate anything on the trade because it was all about getting because frankly, I wanted to hit up another person who had Chris Bryant. And I'll be honest with you, I was willing, if they were going to give me two decent prospects that they had with Chris Bryant, I would have given up Blackman and I would have given up DeGrom, but I'm not sure that would have happened. And people would have looked at that and they would have probably been like, oh God, you know, you only got Chris Bryant and a couple prospects. So
right.
I feel like it's a win, and that's what you got to do in dynasty. And that's how you can treat Trey Turner. So maybe people need to reach out to the Trey Turner owner, especially if they're in win now. Maybe you can get something done. They're selling. I wasn't getting that trade a week ago. That wasn't happening with Jacob DeGrom. So don't go anywhere. No. We'll be right back. More fantasy baseball, football, basketball. It's all coming up. It's in this league.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
All right, what's up? We are back. It is In This League. InThisLeague.com. Ooh, Patreon.com/ITL Army. Is your favorite thing giving away your money? Well, we have got the solution for you.
Not giving it away.
Yeah, well, we want to take their money, though, is what I'm saying.
You get some stuff back.
What do they get back?
They get back all kinds of stuff. We do AMAs. You have your top 500 prospect list on In This League or patreon.com/ITL Army. I have done rankings for fantasy rookies, and immediately after the draft, I'll have rankings for those guys as well once they're drafted and we know where they are and all that good stuff. And just a lot. You get group me rooms if you're at $10 or more. So there's all kinds of stuff you can get back.
Yeah, the secret shows, comedy shows that we're doing. And
oh, my God.
Yeah.
The last one was a doozy. I don't know if we could talk about anything about that on the radio.
No, I mean, the only thing we could talk about is the early stuff, like the super offensive thing that the 6-year-old said to me. like that we could talk about, but not the we did. I mean, you tell me I'm wrong here. Our buddy, Jesse, we went out to lunch with. We did a secret show for him today.
Because he bought us lunch.
He brought us lunch. We did it. We did a 20-minute show for him at the end because he brought up the subject that we was in the second half of. And I'm not trying to curtail this, but we really can't talk about what we talked about on the secret show because it's insane.
I'm trying to find a way to say it.
It has to do with sad people that go to sad lengths to find happiness with plastic or what we found out, cloth.
Right.
And that's the best way I can sell it. And
oh man,
it's the funniest segment we've ever done. That it's my favorite segment we've ever done. It was so funny outside of the e-wrestling. And
e-wrestling was tough.
Yeah. Jesse brought up more. He did some research and told us, and then we went on this just 20-minute side secret show we did there. But we have a lot of fun with those, and we're even talking about doing some one-offs on maybe movies or TV shows. And Game of Thrones is coming up here soon, Dogman. What should we be on the lookout for with Game of Thrones? It's starting about 1 week, 8 days from when this is airing. Game of Thrones, last 6 episodes, no books to be out there. Nobody knows ahead of what's going on except the actors. Talk to me. Give me a snippet of what you think is in store for the season. So spoilers if you're not caught up right now.
Well, I mean, I want to know if Jon Snow figures out who he is. For real.
But we all know who he is.
Well, I know. Well, we know. But I want to know if he figures it out.
But didn't he figure it out?
No, he didn't figure it out.
But didn't Bran figure it out and tell him?
Yes, Bran did. But Jon Snow is on the boat banging Khaleesi.
Well, Bran's got
that's his aunt.
Who's going to win the throne?
George R. R. Martin has always said that the ending is bittersweet. So I don't know. And to be honest, I don't know if we'll see that.
So that means what? It's going to be democracy?
It might be. Like, maybe it's, you know, Varys is your first Westerosi president.
Ugh. So, you know, I mean, if they did that.
I'm going to get rid of all these people who cut off the genitals of people. All right? They're going to be gone. They're going across the sea back where they came from.
We're going to have all the grayscale. We're going to get rid of all the grayscale. We have all the sea seekers. And if they did democracy, that's what I would say. It would be the worst. Who dies?
Go to the polls, everybody.
You think everybody dies?
I kind of hope that comet hits the planet and just wipes it out.
Oh, that's the nerd stuff, though. The non-nerds don't know about the comet.
Well, yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, the comet was in season 2, Red Comet.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
They talked about it one time.
I will bet you however much amount of money you want to bet that the comet was in season 2.
I don't remember them talking about Halley's Comet. What did they say?
They said the red comet means dragons.
So you think a comet's going to come down and blow them all?
No, I don't. I said I think that would be hilarious.
Okay. Well, who lives then? Give me a nugget. What do you think?
I don't know who. I don't know if anybody lives. I think they're all going to die. Did you see the most recent promo? The poster thing, it had them all buried in the snow.
They're all laying there as that symbol that keeps showing up in the snow. What the hell was that symbol, by the way?
I don't know. Something the Night King has on his, armor or whatever. So.
What? It looked like a, what do the women have with the pills? Looked like a,
birth control?
Well, no, it's like, what do they call it? They're,
I don't know.
It's called.
Pillbox?
Yeah.
Oh, you asking me for?
It's like the diaphragm or whatever.
The diaphragm. That's not it. I don't know what you're talking
about. What's the thing with like the 30 pills in it? And they're like, oh, we're going to open this up.
Yeah, it's birth control pills. I'm on the pill. That's what it is.
I don't know.
I think that is. Yeah.
Well, what's the diaphragm?
I can't even get into that on right now.
It ain't the
diaphragm. All right.
What is a
diaphragm? This is not riveting.
No, that is. This is exact. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, see, it's not.
I'm like, it's a diaphragm. It's a dome-shaped silicone cup. That's it. Oh, it's that's not.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's it's the wall. That's what a diaphragm
Women's pillbox.
The diaphragm is like the wall.
Oh, it's not real?
Well, I mean,
everybody
can
come
down if there's ice dragons.
What is it? I put in women's pillbox and Amazon came up and it's decorative pillbox.
Buy it.
So, I don't know what it is.
It's got unicorns on it. Buy it.
Yeah. All right. So you have literally no takes or nothing good about
Game
of Thrones.
Well, I mean, not like I have takes, but nothing that.
What did the Reddit nerds say?
I don't want to know their takes. Like, you do this too much. You try to figure out the end of the show before the end of the show too much. why can't you just shut up and watch the show? Like, sure, everybody has their takes and their thoughts and stuff. I've read too much into Game of Thrones. I think I know how it ends. I don't want to give it all away.
How does it
I mean, I'll tell you off air. I don't want to say it on the radio. So if I'm right, everybody can be like, well, that guy, that fat guy said that.
But you didn't ruin it. You just speculated on it.
Yeah, but I've read a lot, read too much about it, spent too much time on it.
Oh, the nerds? Fan fiction?
Well, it wasn't me. It was the nerds putting it together on Reddit. And then I read what the work that they had done.
So like the nerds on Reddit have it?
I think they might have.
One guy there's all in 1994 figured out hold the door.
Yeah, but George R. R. Martin said that that's not how it goes in the book. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
God damn it. Oh, Game of Thrones is so annoying. You know what I wish?
Sometimes it is.
I know how Game of Thrones ends.
It's like, what is 7 episodes? 6 episodes?
I know how Game of Thrones ends. You want to know how? The last episode, a big purple circle shows up. Thanos walks out and goes, and they're all done.
They're all gone.
They're all done. That's what I hope happens. That's what I hope happens.
You hope Thanos lands and just kills everyone.
Yeah. No, it snaps.
Let me ask you something. What would happen if the Night King touched Thanos?
What happens when Night King touches people?
Well, remember, like he turns them to the blue-eyed zombie-looking guys.
I don't know.
That's not just dead people. Remember, he did it with a baby too.
I mean, but those are humans. Thanos isn't human.
That's true.
He's extraterrestrial.
What did Chris Pratt call him? He said, "I'm gonna shoot that nutsack chin off your face or whatever."
Exactly.
You and I are in different ways.
Grimace.
Grimace. We're on different planes because, like, you would give it all up for Game of Thrones. I'm giving it all up for Endgame. I'm giving up the NFL draft. I'm giving up it all to see Endgame. 15 minutes. You know what's amazing? The minute the 49ers are on the clock is when my showing starts, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm not here for that life.
I mean, it's going to be real tough. Nick Bosa, next. Yeah. But at least he'll take all 10 minutes.
Thank you, next.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, whatever night the end of Game of Thrones is, we're going to have to do our shows during the day. So.
Oh, because you're not going to, you have to like clear that.
I will not be there. So
the slate.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys want to do the show yourself, that's fine. I'd rather just get it done in the morning so we can all watch live. So no possible spoilers at all. So, but anyway, I think I know how it ends, but it's kind of sad and weird at the same time.
But how do you know?
Because some guy did this whole. George R. R. Martin likes to use stories like medieval stories. Like this whole thing is the War of the Roses. Have you ever heard of the War of the Roses? Not the movie with Michael Douglas. And
oh, you just stole that from me. USC plays for it every year.
That's the Rose Bowl.
Oh, no.
The War of the Roses is there were like 5 or 6 houses in England who were all fighting for supremacy in England. It's in, you know, medieval times.
What kind of supremacy?
This is ultimate supremacy.
Oh.
It was a Jason Bourne movie. So it was the ultimate supremacy. But they were fighting for, you know, the crown in England. And that's what this whole story is kind of based off of. But instead of just being, you know, a bunch of English people, it's... you know, with the dragons and Dothraki and all.
So
kinds
are the
of
White
races.
Walkers essentially like some real life plague that happened? Do these people all die of a plague?
I mean, I'm sure there was some plague going through. Okay.
So you think whatever happened in this story of real life is what happens in Game of Thrones?
No, there's other legends. There's like legend stories that happen
of the fall
in the same time that I'll tell you off air and you'll understand why I can't. Like I mean, Will if you Smith. Want me to say my thing that I saw. That I think, oh, that's probably a pretty good point. If you want me to say that to you, wouldn't you be pissed if that's what actually happened?
Yeah,
I'm kind of pissed. I know about it.
You're the one that suffers here. You don't get. See, that's why I don't want to read books. That's why education is stupid. I don't want to read books. You know why? Because then the TV show's ruined for me.
I don't want to read books because the show would be spoiled.
Yeah, I would have known about the Red Wedding. That would have sucked.
Yeah, well, it sucked when I was reading it. I tell you what, Ned Stark,
you'd been like,
I threw the book. I threw the book across the room when Ned Stark happened.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I was pissed. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean he's dead? That can't be true.
You read it. It's not the same impact.
It's better impact. No. Imagining it yourself, stupid.
Reading's going to be obsolete. R-E-A-D-A-B-O.
Okay.
Everyone will be like, oh, I read a book, and it'll be headphones in their ears. No one's going to
read. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, they've done all kinds of tests. We've had this argument too many times. It's the same impact as reading, is listening to it. Same impact.
Yeah, actually, you know,
time for you. Why don't you do that?
I should. To your point with Game of Thrones, like, I think I have a general idea of some of the things that are going to happen in Endgame, but I think a lot of the nerds do too, because it's based on, you know, they're going to take things from comics. It's going to be pretty tough for them to pull completely unique things. Is who?
Death?
No, they scrapped
that. Isn't in the comics, isn't Thanos doing this all to impress Death, not to make the universe great again?
Yeah, yes. Death is like a woman, and he's trying to, trim out the universe to impress Death.
What a surprise. A psychopath to impress a woman kills half the universe. I mean, that's the most realistic story I've ever heard.
Yeah. Lots of us. Oh, yeah. Maybe the comics got it from real life. Can think of a couple scenarios where that went down.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
what the hell are we talking about? I was trying to get something out of you for Game of Thrones.
You wanted to talk about Endgame. You tried to pull out my Game of Thrones theory that I don't want to ruin for everyone.
Okay. And- check this out then. I got something, because we're not talking about sports in this segment. This is already ruined. So I was going to wake up early on Thursday to buy the tickets for Endgame, and I didn't. And then when I woke up, AMC was crashed. The whole site was crashed. So I was disappointed. So I have my thing up on my phone, the page, and I kept refreshing.
Hand up on your hip?
Hand up on my hip.
We dip.
And I got to work, and I'm still refreshing. I go into a meeting. And this is 100% true what I'm telling you. I'm in a meeting. I'm a very important person. Very important job.
Yeah.
I'm in a meeting, and I have my phone there, and I just ever so slightly every 2 minutes I go, I just do a little refresh.
Just look down.
Little look down. And 20 minutes in, I do a little, and I look, and the page is up, and I went, and then I kind of made a sound in the meeting, but nobody looked over, and I was like, and then I went, and I clicked two adult tickets. And it showed me the map, and I went, and it was like, there was only like 5 tickets sold in that that place. And this was the first showing at this AMC, because the site had been crashed like 4 hours. So I click the two, the best ones. And then I go, how am I going to do this? I have to get my wallet out. And then I stand up and I go, I have to take a call. And I walked out of the room. And
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I got up. I acted like I had a call. And I'm like, I have to take this. And I went and I ran to my office. And then I sat down, I pulled out my credit card, and I purchased the tickets, and I got them. And then I walked back in, opened the door, and everyone looked at me, and I was like, it's okay now. And then I sat down, and I had the tickets.
They, like, paused the whole meeting while you were buying?
No. They were talking about things I didn't care about. But okay. I promise you, I got up, and I was like, I have to take this call. And I bought the tickets. And then after, I was talking to one of the guys that worked for me, and I was like, did you get your in-game tickets? Because now I was very special.
Your boss painted his whole face purple and went up to you and went...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Your job. And then I'm like, did you get your in-game tickets? And he's like, oh, no. And I'm like, you should get them. They're going crazy. AMC. So he starts to look and he's like, oh, yeah, two theaters of mine are already sold out. And then like an hour later, he goes, dude, check this out. He's like, in New York right now, there's a pair of tickets to Endgame going for $9,000.
My God. You can get into the Super Bowl for less. And it's a live event.
$1,000 a pair was going for.
You can buy.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
You can buy tickets to the Super Bowl and get in for that and a hotel.
Dude.
That much.
And then he goes.
That's $9,000 a piece or $9,000 for the pair.
For the pair. Then he goes, so check ridiculous. This out. There's a second pair going for $5,000.
How about you just wait a week?
Dude, when he said it, when he told me, he didn't tell me where, and I went, this has to be in LA or New York. And he goes, New York. And I'm like, of course it is, because the hipsters and the people have the money there and they don't care. And
why wouldn't you fly to Kansas?
Dude, that's what I said. Why wouldn't you go to Queens? There's probably some ratty ass place in Queens that has a theater, but no, it's probably some place in Manhattan and they have to see it. 9,000 dude. I started looking online. I'm like, if someone will give me $300, I'll give them my tickets. I would do that. I want to see this movie. I want to see it bad, but I can wait 2 days to see it.
How much was Robert Kraft's massage?
$75.
Okay. Hold on. You can get 120 Robert Kraft massages.
Robert, what do you think about that?
I think I would much rather have massages. I mean, it doesn't include airfare to get to Florida for them, but I would definitely want 120 massages.
I saw you an end game. I got an end
game. I saw you an end game.
It was a happy ending at the end game. So.
It was a happy end game.
$9,000. I believe that. I got to look online. I got to see if it went for more. Who knows? But all right, when we come back, no more Game of Thrones because Bogman's not telling us anything. No more end game, but I do have my tickets. We will talk about some more fantasy baseball, and we got a little bit NFL draft and maybe some basketball playoffs. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
While your attention is focused on the start of the MLB season and this weekend's college basketball Final Four, NFL teams are focusing on the upcoming 2019 NFL draft, just like in this league. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based season projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts crew are providing dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge. Regardless of what type of fantasy football you play, you can save 10% at Roto Experts with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Damn, I did knock that read out. Was that
you,
sexy?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed that. That was a 10 out of 10 read.
I didn't even look at it either. That was amazing. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. No, we're gonna talk about the NFL draft in the next segment. And I'm excited that you finally put up your rankings after 3 years over on patreon.com/ITL Army. And it looks damn
such
good. You put a lot of good stuff in it. You put like, you know, cone drill information and your ranks and it's all fantasy based spark scores and people can see it. And it's fantasy based, which is really important because 90% of the content that's out there is just like full prospect based. Like this is really focused.
I haven't done any defensive linemen or tackles or linebacker work at all. So
yeah, exactly. So you don't have to worry about all that garbage. Offense. And if right. you are looking for extended, cause we're going to do a couple segments of NFL draft football based stuff. But if you're looking for extended stuff next week or this coming week over at In This League, the fantasy football podcast feed, we're going to have an NFL draft 2019 NFL draft preview show, which will be Bogman and I, cause you've been putting out some of the positional rank episodes, but we'll be doing an episode together. We'll be going through some mocks, maybe some, some top players at certain positions. We'll be breaking down the mocks and it'll be a week away from the NFL draft, which is freaking incredible that it's almost here.
Yeah. It's, we're getting real close. I like that they do it over 3 days now.
Do you?
But I think at some point, because it's 7 rounds, it's going to go over a week, isn't it?
You mean like Tuesday or Monday?
It's going to start on Sunday or Monday, and then there's just going to be a round every day,
I
right?
I don't think so, because like...
I think they should do that. It's super annoying. I know.
It's going to be the combine. It'll be like every day. It's just ridiculous. They're going to have 20 minutes per pick every day.
I mean, not 20 minutes. I don't think they do even 15 minutes anymore. I think the first round is down to 10 minutes.
But I'm saying, like, if they're going to make it all day event for a whole week, like they do with the combine or something.
Yeah. How about we have a bunch of the picks actually at the event instead of going and fishing and stuff like that? Like, you know, I know a lot of people want to be with their family and stuff.
Oh, you mean like, I didn't understand what you meant. You mean like the dudes are actually there.
Yeah, yeah. I think they should have it in, you know, like a stadium format, and everyone who has been scouted or shown up on a list shows up. And then it's almost like the Price is Right, you know.
Come on down.
And then we can get a little interview with them and all that stuff. That's basically what the NBA draft does for a lot of their prospects.
You're the problem, though. You're the problem why they're going to make this, like, insane.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think there's plenty. I think there's enough. Like, what do you think the viewing audience really is on Saturday morning, you know, or Saturday afternoon when you're in the sixth round and these guys are just trying, they're making up names and making up stats about these guys. Like, nobody cares.
Well, a lot of times they don't even talk about the guys getting drafted. Like, their name just flashes up there because they're talking to Shaq Griffin, you know.
I think if they did anything, it is that they could add an extra day. So it could be something like, they do round one on Thursday, round two on Friday, and then Saturday could be round three, and then Sunday could be like 4, 5, 6, 7, or Saturday could be 3 and 4. Like, they just add one extra day, but it has to go over the weekend. They can't make this thing ridiculous.
I just hate that it starts so early on those that Saturday.
Of course you do.
It starts like 8 a.m. our time or something ridiculous.
They
got to
finish it in a day. It's like six rounds in there.
All right, but it's always over by like 5. How about you push it back to like noon?
The Bogman schedule. You're
and
like,
it's going late. Yeah, going by my schedule.
Be flexible. So. Maybe 12:45 if I get a late start, if there's traffic.
Maybe I want the source of, you know, maybe I want the picks too much. Like, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see this Blue Jays tweet thing?
It's such a good tweet where they're like, so Justin Smoke or whatever, he's injured, and the guy's like, source, and he's like, literally us, the Blue Jays.
Yeah. It says he has like whoever this guy is, it says he's at year of the Vlad, which, what a shocker, right? And his name says hashtag thank you Pilar, because they just traded Pilar. So obviously, huge Jays fan. So, but
that stuff, says, I don't want to get into that. I'll piss people off, but like, I don't know, that type of stuff. Like, thank you for your time. Like, grow up.
So he said, did you trade Smoke? He said, no, he has neck tightness and could be available to pinch hit if needed. That is from Toronto Blue Jays at Blue Jays with a Twitter blue account. Check mark. Yeah. And then Year of the Vlad says source ? And they say literally us, the Blue Jays.
It's the funniest tweet ever. It's so fun. I mean, I'll give them credit. RotoWare already has a shirt that it's Blue Jays logo and it says literally us.
RotoWare is on it.
They're on it, man.
I don't know how many people are going to buy that shirt, but it's available. So
it is,
you know, even if it's 15 people, they've got it going.
I don't know what their margins are, but they put it out immediately. And I mean, it's the stupidity of the internet, but it's like just killer responses. I'm a big dumb idiot though, because anytime a big brand has some really snarky or funny response, I just laugh with my teeth out. Like, I think it's the funniest thing on the planet. It's better than
so you like
up.
It when like the checkmark teams get into the muck
I
and
love
stuff
it.
Like that.
Oh, I love when, like, you know, Wendy's yells at customers or
oh my God.
Teams do that stuff. It's the best thing.
The Huskers thing. You remember me telling you about the Huskers.
It's
right?
One of the funniest things that have happened.
I love
where
it.
Where the Huskers. Wendy's trolled all the Huskers fans.
Yeah. They said, you know, hey, you know what? Maybe the Huskers lost, but how about a nice cold Scott Frosty on your way home? You know, because Scott Frost is the coach of Nebraska, and they were getting pounded by somebody. And all these the one lady called Wendy's, the Wendy's account, bullying. You're bullying us. Blah, 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 blah. Give me a
shut
break.
Up, Karen. Shut up.
Shut up, Karen. No one cares what you think, Karen.
There's the same type of people, though, that, like, you know, get on the phone if, like, some, you know, kids in some urban area are selling lemonade on the street and they call the police. Hey, people are like, shut up, Karen.
Shut up, Karen. Nobody cares about what you think. But
nobody cares.
Are they the same as the people that get on the internet and go, everyone on my team is dead. I have all the injured guys. Like, no one else has any injured players on their roster. Like, we're all over here just, and you're like, no, everything's great. I don't have any problems.
Yeah. Well, what are you complaining about with them?
I just,
like, who's worse? The guy that says source or
the guy that, yeah, well, the people that complain about bullying from, you know, those things. Well,
those people are the worst. Those people.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yes, there are a lot of injuries right now, but everyone is complaining about every injury. There's a bunch. Trey Turner's hurt. Justin Smoke, literally us. He's hurt.
Jake Lamb, our guy, Jake Lamb. 6 weeks.
D Gordon, E5, hurt. Who else here? I'm just trying to go through this list. We had Jed Lowry still hurt. We knew that going into the season.
Carlos Troy Tulowitzki got
Giancarlo Stanton, Carlos Martinez, Byron Buxton ran into the wall the other day.
Miguel Andujar.
Shohei Ohtani almost died right there. I'm injured with my throat. Shohei Ohtani is hurt. Justin Upton got hurt. I mean, yes, there's a tons and tons of guys hurt. How much time have you spent complaining about your roster and all your injured players?
I don't think so. I don't think I've spent any. I mean, it's like we have a couple things. Like, I've seen plenty of people complaining in our head-to-head points about that you set it up with one IL spot. And complaining about the,
I think that's the champs league.
Right. That is, you're right.
Because head-to-head points, I always do 3 or 4.
There's one IL spot. So I'm seeing a lot more of those complaints than anything. It's more about like the
for everybody. Come on.
Yeah, it's people complaining about the same stuff, like with not having enough spots. Like I've got a couple. I have in our.
You know what I hate about that? I gotta go on a tangent real quick. I hate about that is that. No one looked at the rules before the season started and said, are we really going with one IL spot? Because I just said it, standard stuff on Fan Tracks. I just went, this is what we're doing standard stuff, same rules for everyone. Not one person sent me an email and said, can we go with more IL spots? Do we have to only have one? There are 16 people in there. Nobody sent me that email. Nobody sent me a direct message. Nobody said, can we please do this? You know what everybody has? 2 minutes to look over all the rules.
Yeah, I mean,
and now they're complaining that all their guys are hurt.
I'm with you on that. It's a little bit, and this is, I mean, you know me, I've always been like, don't assume anything. Where I don't think you assume, but you know, you give a little bit more of the benefit to what you're saying, like the logic. Like you give the benefit to logic, and I say that there is no logic in people. Like those type of things are somewhere between like terms of service and logic. Like, it's not quite, like, nobody reads the terms of service, like, on Apple or something like that.
Nobody looks at the league that they're playing in, at the rules?
No, but, like, I'm not, again, that's why I'm saying it's somewhere between that. Like, I think people do, but I'm not sure everybody is locked in. Like, I'll be honest with you, I never do. Like, the only thing I'll look at
you
is...
You should.
If I'm in a points league, I'm like, okay, what's the scoring system? If you tell me it's standard 5x5, I don't.
Can you do me a favor? Can you start?
I can tell you I'll start.
Can you please, can you just do it?
I can tell you also, I'm not complaining about it. I don't care.
I know you're not complaining, but I think, wouldn't you feel better if going into a draft you had already looked?
Well, sure. Absolutely.
Look, I haven't before too. Like in our OFR league, I set it and forget it, right? I didn't know how many DL spots that we had on that one. So during the draft, I had to go look because I didn't know what the standard was. The standard was one. And yes, people are complaining about that.
Yep.
But once again, everyone was in there a week before the draft. You can take 2 minutes and go look. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take us down the tangent of the whatever and the stuff.
Yeah. It makes me mad. I don't even remember.
I think I commissioned before, too many leagues.
I think it's your anger coming from a commissioner. I don't blame you. I don't blame you for it. But like I said, that's the difference is like you give the benefit to logic. Like, well, if people had a problem with it, they would have said something. And I'm the one that says, well, people are dumb. And they're not going to look at it. And they're going to treat league settings like the terms of service they get on any possible thing that says click through. You know, that thing says, hey, the accept cookies.
Episode, right.
Yeah, nobody looks. Nobody reads any. They're like, okay, whatever. Just let me get
on
with it.
We take your blood?
Yeah, sure. That's what they do. Nobody looks. So I don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. But people complaining nonstop. In our new keeper league that we're doing, I didn't pay attention that the first week, of course, was 400 games. It's 12 weeks long. It's the winner is coming is week one. It's the longest week one in the history of ever. is, and I made a bunch of my moves
to
start.
It ends tomorrow.
Thank God it ends tomorrow because I made my moves early, and then I've had 400 players go on IL. I'm not complaining about that league because guess what?
Yeah, you know what you didn't do at all? Complain to me about it.
I didn't say a word to you about it.
No,
but
you didn't.
All of my guys, I have all the IL spots. It's perfect. But guess what? I have 4 open roster spots and 0 moves to make. And I've had 0 moves since Monday. It's ridiculous, but I haven't complained about it because I got bigger, better things. That's why we're in an impasse here, Bob. This is why I've come to terms now as an older, irrelevant person of why Instagram is so great. Instagram isn't so great because it's just a bunch
Love
of
Instagram.
Pictures and stuff like that. Oh. It's partial. What's so great about it is it's a place that you can complain less. There's less vitriol.
Yes.
There's less anger. It's people posting up
There's
pictures.
There's almost no politics.
There's no politics. There's no, but multiple. There's no actual politics. And there's just no, someone shares their opinion and there's 400 messages that get more met. People don't look at the comments on Instagram. That's why it's better because Instagram is full of the worst people with the worst opinions that only want to do is hurt your feelings. That's how they get their rocks off. And that's what it is. And Twitter, that's why Twitter is going to go down because of that. Over time, it's going to become, people are getting exhausted. I'm getting exhausted from it. I love good interaction, but bad interaction gets you down. Instagram doesn't
That's
even
why
have
all the
one
young
tenth
people are on the Instagram and not
the
on
gram.
The Twitters.
They're on the gram, Bogman.
And everyone over 40 is on Facebook still.
Yeah. What? Well, why? Well, we're in limbo. Twitter's limbo. We're not all. If you're on Facebook more than 2 hours a day, you're irrelevant. If you only go on Instagram and don't check your Twitter account, you still have a life. If you're
my
us,
mom is
we're
almost
limbo.
70, spends all day on Facebook.
All day. Of course
all
she does.
All day, just looking at recipes and funny pictures of dogs.
Yeah.
That's just like everything.
My mom's like,
Twitter.
Do you see that thing on Facebook? I'm like,
no.
Of course
I didn't.
Because
I'm
Facebook.
I'm not 70.
What are you talking about? I was too busy yelling at people on Twitter. My blood pressure. We're talking anger. That's what it is. And you know what it is? All these injured players. This is why Twitter's thriving.
How did you usurp my anger subject here? Like I was being angry and then you took it.
It's just anytime we get onto it and all the Twitter people. It's crazy. And Twitter's good. Twitter's helped us. It's helped promote stuff. We get to occasionally be funny. We get to troll the Diamondbacks and Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. F you. I'm eating.
Yeah, I pulled that clip. That's our Carl's Jr. report music. So bottom line is where you were getting at before this got hijacked again was there's a lot of guys that are injured. There's multiple players that are injured and it's not so much. So did you see that Edison Volquez is hurt again? And he said if he has to have Tommy John for the third time, he's just retiring.
I mean, I think doesn't the recovery time get longer each time? I could be wrong about
What's
that.
What's the point? What's
yeah,
the point?
I mean, he's older. He's made a decent amount of money playing baseball and you're going to have to go through all that rehab stuff again. I think if you can live without it, you know, without that horrible, you know, rehab and all that stuff, then just go do it.
You worried about any of these top guys? Like we talked about Turner, you've got Francisco Lindor.
About Stanton.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting at. You have Lindor who had the ankle thing and he's out for a little bit. Jose Ramirez had a little foul off and he's had little stuff and you get Stanton.
He pinch hit today. I'm not worried about him.
But Stanton's the guy you're worried about?
Yes, because it's a bicep injury and it seemed to come out of nowhere. So, and that's, you know, obviously you can have a lot of power in your biceps, especially being one of the strongest hitters in baseball. So like, is this going to be a thing where it either he comes back too soon and he sapped some power because he's definitely not an average hitter? Or is it going to be a thing where he just keeps going longer and longer on it to get 100%? Usually something along those lines.
I think
happens.
We always bet Stuff. Against Stanton and it just doesn't work. Like if he's injured, he's injured. But when he's back, like it's hard to go against him.
Yeah. I mean, when he's hitting 100%, you know, he's won an MVP before. So that's why I was so excited about him. I'm like, all right, you know, he gets traded to the AL. He has a down year for him, especially at the start. And he's just getting used to all these AL pitchers. He's been in the NL for so long. Now that he gets to see some of these guys too. 3-4 time, he's going to be good. But the bicep injury scares me a lot.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a scary thing. But all right, when we come back, we've got the final hour of In This League coming up. Bogman had some. You wanted to bring something up about basketball. Something was going on. We'll bring that up.
I'm very upset. Going to have another angry segment.
Okay, let's have that. Good. That's a great tease. And then we're going to do a little bit of NFL draft. Want to talk about Kyler Murray, and then maybe pick a position for Bogman to talk about some of the depth. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.